have to admit that I had a hard time coming up with a topic for tonight, and I was thinking a couple weeks about it, and I wasn't coming up with anything. And then finally, a thought crossed my mind, and it just happened to be on Sunday 2 weeks ago. And then I came to church Sunday night, and my brother was speaking, and he started talking, and I was thinking, oh no, he stole my topic. I thought he did anyway. But then he said he was talking about love, which isn't my topic. However, it's related to mine. Those of you who were here 2 weeks ago may remember a specific example my brother used in his talk. He didn't mention any names, but he mentioned how he thought something a certain couple had done was sweet. And he added that they were sitting up front and he was trying very hard not to look at me. Well, I have an example that I'd like to use to introduce my topic to. I won't mention any names, but this individual is sitting in front of Bob and Marge, and this person has a significant other, and he wanted to give a special gift on a certain occasion. He wanted to give her something she would never forget. Well, he did, and even more than he planned. There are several of you who know the particular event I'm referring to. If you do, you already know. And remember that it was definitely an unforgettable experience. For those of you who don't know, you'll have to take my word for it. Neither one of them will ever forget it. My point with this is that he gave her something, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, is giving. So I mentioned before, our topics are related. He talked about love, and I'm talking about giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is often called the love chapter. The word love isn't mentioned in it once if you read the King James. Instead, the word charity is used. In this case, the word means love and not charity as we think of charity. When we think of charity, we often think of giving to some organization that feeds people or gives medicine or something. And when I was young, I found this confusing that the word charity in this chapter meant love. Charity, to me, meant something totally different than love. It meant that, to me, it meant giving to that organization or whatever. And I looked it up, and charity actually really means to have affection, benevolence, goodwill, or love. So why am I talking about this? Why giving? A couple of months ago, in the middle of the holiday season, I remember at least two different occasions where somebody here mentioned giving in their lesson. The specific thing I remember about what they said was, why is giving only on the minds of people one or two months out of the year? Why not year-round? After hearing that, I thought to myself, I'll bring it up again in a couple of months to see if anybody's still thinking about it. Fortunately, I don't think anybody here has forgotten how to give. That same night Ryan gave his talk, I received the Valentine's box, and it was stuffed full of stuff, and everybody here seemed like contributed, and I have a lot more than I can eat. So you guys haven't forgotten how to give, or you know how to give. But seriously, though, I have been given a lot of things from others here, just as I know many of you have. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. I don't believe those speakers who I mentioned before were referring to our congregation only giving 2 months a year. I think they were talking about others we meet in the world. So this brings up the question again, why giving? I don't know if this makes it any clearer, but I want to discuss giving in more than one sense. I want to discuss giving, giving up, or give in up. We'll start with giving. If you would like to, please turn to Luke 23:32-49. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Then soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering to him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. Jesus is the ultimate example of giving. He gave himself that we might have an opportunity to live. He gave us hope. John 15:13. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We have been blessed with many things. We have the opportunity to give, and we should give freely as we have received freely. We can never repay what Christ gave us. All we can do is give our lives to him. Matthew 16:24-25 confirms this. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If we give our lives to Christ, we have a far greater reward than anything we could get on earth. We simply need to give up the things that take us away from Christ and put him first. There are many things to distract us along our way. We all have responsibilities and obligations to fulfill. We need to constantly evaluate ourselves and make sure we aren't letting those things jeopardize our salvation. The parable of the sower always comes to mind for me when thinking about this subject. Mark 4:18-19 says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We need to be careful not to let anything come between Christ and us. It is easy for things to creep in and slowly pull us away if we aren't careful. Satan is very good at what he does, and if we let our guard down, we can be in a lot of trouble in a hurry. We must give up the bad things and concentrate on the good things, as it says in Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is who is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This makes it plain and simple. We need to put off, put to death, or in other words, give up these things of the world. Instead of thinking and dwelling on them, focus on those things which are above. Think about heaven and how much better it will be. Think of what you can do to help others. Think of something you can change to spend more time dwelling on the Word. Then perhaps the things of this world won't seem quite so important or pressing. In actuality, they really aren't that important or pressing compared to our salvation. Make some time in your day. Stop and pray. Read the scriptures. Spend time with your brothers and sisters. Finally, the last aspect about giving that I would like to discuss is that of not being the one who has given up. It isn't always easy to follow the Christian path. Things aren't always easy and wonderful. Sometimes it's just plain hard. Don't let these things get you down. Following Christ is much better than the alternative. You truly have something to live for. Those who are outside think they do, but they really don't. They are living for nothing, and they think we are the ones living for nothing. They think this because we don't take part in the bad things they do to attempt to try to make themselves feel alive. No, we have a greater hope and expectation. We look forward and haste the day of the coming of the Lord. It's coming. Don't forget or be caught unprepared. It isn't always easy to do what is right, but we will be rewarded for serving. Revelation 21:6-8 says, "He said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" We have to keep our eye on the goal, run the race, endure, and persevere through Christ. If we are found faithful and overcome, we will be rewarded. I know I just read this chapter this morning, but I'd like to read it again. I debated on whether to or not, but I came upon the chapter yesterday as I was preparing for my talk, and it just amazed me. I read it probably 4 or 5 times, and it just puts into words so well what our life and situation is. It's so true, and it's definitely inspired, and it's inspiring to me, and I hope it does the same for you. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's what I read for the New Testament reading this morning. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are... While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I really hope you were listening to that. If you really look at it and think about it, it truly is amazing. It puts into words so well what our Christian walk is really like. To me, it summarizes and really tells our story. We as Christians face troubles and often things don't seem to go too great. But we have comfort in knowing Christ. Even though our outward man is perishing, we are being renewed inwardly all the time and getting a little closer to being home each day. When I started preparing this lesson, I had it in my mind going an entirely different direction. It was going to be more along the lines of literally giving to others, but it just took its own path. I hope this has been beneficial and edifying for you. And I requested Mike to lead number 649 in the red for our invitation song, and it's titled "I Gave My Life for Thee." And I want you all to pay attention to the lyrics as we're singing. And in closing, I'd like to read a passage from Romans. It's from chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." This gospel invitation is extended. If you haven't given your life to Christ, or if you need to bring something else before the congregation, you have that opportunity as we stand and sing.